passed. The Constitution is finished. But if a super-duper big tragedy happens, this entire document goes out the window. Said no founding father ever. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Where does the real power lie? The power behind the power. Because it's no longer about who lives in the White House. It's about who owns the White House.
This is the presidency. How much higher can a politician go?
The real power isn't here. It's beyond here. It's above it, but still working in conjunction with it.
Scary words. Welcome, Kate Daly Show. Glad to be of service. I've got Uncle Milty here. How you feeling?
I'm okay.
Uncle Milty needs to get in for a surgery and can't because the hospital's twiddling their thumbs waiting for all the COVID patients that they don't have. And it's really a frustrating thing. It's got to be a frustrating thing.
It is.
And they're doing that to a lot of surgeries.
They don't,
you know, most people that get this, 97 to 99.9% of them are fine, but, and walking around, no problem, but people can't get in for surgeries they need. So, keep Uncle Milty in your prayers.
All based on these predictions they want to keep making that never, ever work out. You can go all the way back to the Hong Kong flu in 1968.
Mm-hmm.
They predicted the same thing then that they're predicting today for this COVID.
I love that this caller brought this up.
CDC has what they call a pandemic severity index chart. It's a 1 to 5, worst case. In order to be a 5, you have to have more than 1.8 million deaths, which is just a little greater than 2% of the population. In 2006, it was. So it's a little higher now. But none of them ever reached that. The Hong Kong flu, which was predicted to have well over a million deaths, had actually, it was less than 0.5% of the population.
Wow. And here we've got Bill Gates' modeling company doing all the numbers for United States, telling us how many are going to potentially die.
Potentially.
Yeah, potentially. And they've always been wrong. But this time, I guess they're going to be right, right?
This time we have to worry.
My own governor makes his assertions off that. I know that the country is making an assertion off of this as if it's fact, as if this is something that's going to happen, even though they've always been wrong. In every virus, they've always subjected the numbers to these crazy numbers, right? They're putting out these crazy numbers. It's never, ever what they say it's going to be, ever. So,
well, and then everything else comes from those crazy numbers.
Yeah.
We're going to need so many of ventilators.
Right.
But that's based on false numbers.
Yes. So true. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
I'd like to go out on a limb.
Okay.
It's a drill.
Ah,
Maybe something was spread around. Yeah, okay. But it's all about conditioning.
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to ask Dr. Pesta about, you know, young people, educating young people, since he's an expert in that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because ABC News told me, either today or yesterday, that Joe Biden was ahead in the polls over President Trump.
Yep. They told me that.
Don't say that to me. That wouldn't be fun.
Yeah.
But if you told that to somebody who's like 18,
can you imagine?
You'd go, oh, okay.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for that. Yeah, that's, exactly right. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yes, hello, Kate.
Don, good. Don Fotheringham is joining Uncle Milty and I. And Uncle Milty and I are both here, and you're live. And I'm so glad you called in. You're such a gift, one of my personal heroes. And you wrote the book, The President Makers, Don. And you know, it's so interesting to me. I want to have this discussion because I was looking back at the Great Depression, and I was looking back at history, and I was seeing some similarities here. But I also, before we go into that, I also wanted to get your take on what's happening today.
Sure. Let's do that.
Okay. What do you think? Go right ahead.
Which one do you want first? About the depression or what's going on today?
You know what? Let's talk about what's going on.
Let's start with the depression.
Okay, sure.
All right. What the insiders did to create that, they had Harding and Coolidge in there, mm-hmm. whom they hated.
Okay.
Want to get rid of them.
And why did they hate him? For those that don't know, because our history books don't ever talk about them.
Okay, because Harding recovered the country from the damage that Wilson had done.
Mm.
Wilson was the wartime president.
Mm-hmm.
It instituted all kinds of unconstitutional programs.
Mm-hmm.
The taxes were high. They had lots of bureaucracies, lots of unofficial, unconstitutional activities going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing Harding did was make sure those were repealed,
mm-hmm.
got back to normal,
mm-hmm.
lowered the taxes, paid off the war debt,
mm-hmm.
and that wasn't exactly according to script.
Sure. They didn't like that.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. A lot. Harding was a lot like Trump. Nevertheless, they couldn't stand that, and they had to get rid of them,
mm-hmm.
and they created the Depression by putting out billions and billions of dollars in absolutely low interest, you know, like 2% loans,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Urging their people to borrow the money and buy stock.
Mm-hmm.
So after a large number of people mm-hmm. had a lot of stock that they were doing very well with,
right?
They pulled the loans, which in those days you could do.
Mm-hmm.
According to their contract, they could the lending company could pull the loans if any under all different kinds of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So the lenders pulled the loans all at once, left people hanging without the profits that were promised to them,
mm-hmm.
and which of course destroyed the economy.
Right, they drug it out.
So. That was how the Depression was deliberately created.
Mm.
Then the big coup de grace was to be saving the country
mm-hmm.
by vast socialized programs. And so they got Hoover to do a few things. He was very reluctant to. He didn't like the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And they got rid of Hoover,
right?
And put in FDR. FDR was very happy to accommodate them with
right.
everything that they wanted. We got all the social programs, we got all the unconstitutional activities back tenfold over what Wilson had done.
Yeah, and
that was the object.
And in your book, you outline a lot about what happened because Hoover was kind of an insider, and then all of a sudden Hoover got in, and there was never a Time magazine cover about him anymore because he gets in mm-hmm. and he had worked under, as secretary, had worked under Harding and Coolidge, and he had learned about their loyalty, and he started doing mm-hmm. things a little differently once he got in office. He was an insider, and they thought he was the dream version of their bought and sold mm-hmm. president. He gets in, and he's not that, and he does not want to do direct payments to the people. And so he's in, and they drag out the recession. They drag it out because they know they can come in, right? The Morgans and the Rockefellers,
right.
They know they can come mm-hmm. in with a solution. And it's kind of interesting how they did that because it's eerily similar right now in some odd ways. Do you think?
Yes. Yes, they do. I think it's very similar.
Yeah.
I think they would like to do with Trump and with our present administration, mm-hmm. present Congress, they like to do what they did in 1934, 1935.
Yeah. Yes.
But you're right, Roosevelt, or I should say, Hoover, they thought mm-hmm. Hoover was going to do everything they wanted.
Right.
Because he had been an insider along with when he was in the Wilson administration.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought they could depend on him. And, of course, right. my opinion is that working with Hoover and Coolidge, he kind of repented.
Yeah.
Because he
right.
saw that doing things right isn't all that bad after all.
Oh, it's so
and,
true.
So he was very reluctant to go along with what they expected him to do.
So true. And then you talked about how little understood by us would be the measures that drain a nation's economic resources faster than doing a public payout, right? The direct payments.
Yeah.
And they urged that, and they wanted people to want that.
Yes.
They, yeah. demand
they have free money for everybody.
Yeah.
And especially the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Paid them not to grow crops,
mm-hmm.
Not to produce cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of cattle were destroyed. Crops were destroyed that they got paid for. And that was really the beginning of destroying the free market foundation of our country.
Right. And then Congress had laid out a relief program calling for twice the amount of money and then passed it over Hoover's head.
That really confused Hoover.
Yeah, you bet.
Hoover might have been on the inside back in the Wilson administration, but
mm-hmm.
he was not really on what was going on until after the election.
Right.
Okay. After the election, he decides he's going to do Roosevelt a great favor and be his private advisor because he saw things going crazy. And they didn't tell him we want things going crazy. They let him squirm and make suggestions that they never adhered to, never paid any attention to.
And you also talked about how when they were dragging out the depression for the economy, they did it until everything hit rock bottom, and then they had all the falling commodity prices and the real estate values and the lower security quotations increased in the value mm-hmm. over the liquid funds. And then as the nation grew mm-hmm. poorer, the insiders grew richer because they're basically looting the coffers.
Mm-hmm. That was their reward, their personal reward. Was to use all that money. What they had done, they knew the depression was coming because mm-hmm. they started it.
Right.
So they turned everything into cash. They were completely liquid on everything. And when the prices fell out from the market, mm-hmm. that's when they did their buying.
Wow.
That's when we got General Motors and Ford in its present circumstances and so forth.
Okay. We're gonna come right back. I want to talk about one event happened called the Bogus Bonus March, and I want you to talk about that because I thought that was kind of an interesting thing that happened too, because there were some
mm-hmm.
events
sure.
that happened right as all of this was unfolding. There's a lot we can learn from history today. We're going to come right back with Don Fotheringham. He is the author of The President Makers. Oh, this is a must read, especially if you listen to this show. I got Uncle Milty, and be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com.
There you go.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
When you hear all this stuff on the radio, you know, you're like, yeah, right. So when I heard the Balance of Nature commercial, I was like, yeah, right. You know, how can those pills give you more energy? But the amazing thing is it does. It works. All the claims of Balance of Nature work. I mean, I have more energy. Before I started taking Balance of Nature, I would walk up the hill from feeding the horses and I'd just be dragging. And I'm like, I hate feeling this way. I've got years more to live. I don't want to feel tired all the time. And now I have plenty of energy. I used to have to, you know, always say, okay, I'm going to take a nap at 2:00 because I'm so tired I can't stand it, you know, and now I'm taking a nap in weeks.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. So glad you're with us today. I've got Uncle Milty, of course, and Keep him in your prayers. He's not feeling very good. He's supposed to have a throat surgery, and he can't because the hospitals are canceling anything else but COVID, and there's just not a lot. There's nobody in there for COVID, so very, very few. So, you know, it's striking how they're handling this, but keep him in your prayers because he's hurting. And I've got Don Fotheringham on, the author of The President Makers, a personal hero of mine, and I'm always so happy to have Don on because he can shed light on history like no other. His book, The President Makers, outlines all these events, tells you the truth about all these events over the last 100 years that we need to know about, that we have to understand in full context what happened, because the playbook gets used again and again. And if people realize that, when they start to realize history plays out itself again, we can really learn a lot from this. Welcome to the show, Don.
Yes, glad to be here.
I
have to confess
that
after writing The President Makers, when I saw this COVID virus thing coming up, I thought, well, there's nothing to it at all.
Mm-hmm.
There's another crisis on which they can destroy Trump, which is he's built the economy. So how do you tear that economy down? That is going to be his key to November the 3rd. That's how he's going to get back in.
Mm-hmm.
Those were my first impressions.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been moderated a little bit on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite that extreme. I believe that the COVID virus really is a threat. I believe it's serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there are things about it that we don't technically know yet. We don't know how to cure it yet, at least once it gets to a certain point. Nevertheless, it is not anywhere near the level that you would expect for shutting the nation down.
Yeah.
So they have seized upon this, regardless of how serious or how artificially exaggerated it is. They've seized upon it to destroy the very things that we could not, that could not be destroyed under normal circumstances, especially under prosperous circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
This is a great nation. We're very productive. We don't need to be shut down. We can continue to work during this crisis, and we can take precautions that are necessary, the same as we do in any other year with the influenza or pneumonia or anything else. So my opinion is it's being way, way overplayed in order to accomplish the same purposes that I speak of in my book.
Absolutely. The President Makers. What a great book. And there was a moment in there during the Depression when they were prolonging the Depression to try and do that to the economy. They could get their guy in because they wanted to come up with the solution. And the solution was socialism programs and all kinds of dependency. But it was interesting, this bonus march. Do you want to talk about that, this bonus march? They had promised these payments to veterans, right?
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah, the veterans, Wilson administration had promised them a bonus after the war, which was to be paid in 1945.
Mm-hmm.
And the communists were looking for some way to increase their power, increase the enforcement powers of the country, and they needed that kind of a demonstration, that kind of a crisis. So the communists, who were very deeply entrenched in the labor unions, stirred up the veterans to march on Washington and demand that it be paid for right away. I don't remember what year that was.
Yeah, it was in 32, right? In July 32. In that election year, President Hoover was recognizing this disturbance at the nation's capital that employed the communist tactic of angry, successive, untainable demands. And there were veterans organizations there that had been infiltrated by these people. And, of course, they were stirring people up to demand. And then it was pretty well orchestrated, widely publicized. And then some 5,000 men came to Washington from all parts of the United States, set up their signs, camped outside of the Capitol, vowing to remain there until they received their money, and then violence erupted. The Washington police were summoned to maintain order, and the confrontation grew even more violent, and some people were shot. And Douglas MacArthur was called in. So it was that's it's right. kind of like your Antifa
so
moment.
Eisenhower and MacArthur, that's when we first heard of them.
Yeah.
They were brought in to quell the disturbance.
Yes. And so it was interesting that had turned into a riot, but there were a lot of agents within that were stirring it up to get it to that point. And I kept thinking about Antifa, and I kept thinking about the use of a group like Antifa to do something like that, because that was in that day what that was.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Oh, my gosh.
A communist-inspired I guess you would
uprising.
Call it they call it a bonus march.
Mm-hmm.
It was planned to incite violence, and the military veterans from all over the United States were bamboozled into marching on Washington and to demand an early payment of their 1945 promise.
Jeez.
It was all fake, like what we have today.
Yes.
When you have that many people moving in concert, somebody's organizing it.
Yep, that's so true. And they called it
today.
They called it Hoover's Depression, right?
They wanted to blame it on him. The whole thing was aimed at getting rid of him.
Yeah, just kind of an interesting little parallel.
Hoover was not going along with the extreme measures that was being demanded to solve the fake depression that had been created.
Right.
And they were very disappointed, and that was one of the spears to try to goad him on and get him to invoke more severe measures.
What do you think comes next, learning anything from history? What do you think comes for us right now? What do you, if you had to project, say, the next month or two?
Okay, I think it's going to be extremely bad due to the fact that there is some credence in the cause. They will milk it to the very end.
Right.
They would like to see this country on rock bottom by November the 3rd.
Yeah.
I mean rock bottom. Lots of unemployment, lots of illness, lots of foreign entanglements. Enormous debt, which we've just begun with that. What was it, $2 trillion? Can you imagine an appropriation?
Yeah, with
that
more bills coming.
Magnitude. And more coming. So this is going to destroy the nation.
Wow.
I look for very, very serious times ahead.
What would you say to people to do? How would you tell them to prepare for this?
First of all, they're going to have to learn something they haven't learned yet. We don't communicate with Congress. There's not a congressman in Washington who fears re-election. Not one.
That's true.
And if we don't put enough pressure on them to say, look, you've taken an oath. The Constitution doesn't allow for these multitude of programs. There's nothing in the Constitution for federal education or for the environment or for all the unauthorized agencies that are being paid for. The state of Utah gets some, I think, like $23 billion a year from in federal subsidies on their wonderful education, things that are not authorized. So what we have to do is let our congressmen know, if you don't get back under the Constitution, you'll not get reelected.
Right.
And I don't see the integrity out there. I don't see people looking to the source, recognizing the fact that the Constitution allows no appropriations except through Congress. I think this last one came through the Senate, which is exceedingly weird. So we've got to wake up.
Yeah. How do you find hope?
And if we go ahead.
How do you find hope?
Well, in the first place, I used to have a friend in the church headquarters, and I visit with him very often. And one day he said to me, Brother Fotheringham, do you know a thing that God doesn't know? So I'm going to come back to that. Of course, he loves this nation. He loves us. We have to act and pray.
Yeah. I agree.
If we don't act and pray, we are going to lose our nation. We're going to lose our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be under some sort of a permanent emergency leadership, which will destroy everything.
Mm-hmm.
Our freedom of speech,
right.
Our privacy, and we'll be totally dependent on government.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for crises is to allow government to pose as our great saving mechanism,
right?
Which it is not.
Mm. Yeah, and it is. It's tough. It's a tough line to walk today because I'm seeing everybody that is staying in their homes and we're doing what we're told and we're so afraid of this thing, even though the numbers are very low and it's being overplayed so much that I don't see a lot of people calling that out. They're not warning people that this is being overplayed. People actually think, you know, we're kind of going along with this as a nation. And that's not mm-hmm. good for our nation. We're not waking up.
Yeah. I it is extremely difficult because mm-hmm. I don't deny that our lack of sanitation and so forth could cause us to fall victim to this virus.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't that always apply? Don't we always wash our hands? And we teach our children to
are
wash
we doing
their hands
these things?
And not breathe on someone, especially don't sneeze on somebody if you have a cold. I mean, these are pretty normal patterns of behavior that we learned when we were children.
That's so true.
I think that's what we should be doing now instead of closing the nation.
Uncle Milty?
But we do live in a nation that has a sign on the restroom door of every restaurant in mm-hmm. the country that says, employees, please wash your hands.
Yeah, which is insane.
Uncle Milty, we're going to have to act like employees.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. And here's the deal. You know, the ones that are walking around like Hitler Youth trying to get people arrested for taking a walk, they're the ones saying you're not taking it seriously enough. And that's the code word for you will be controlled enough to stay in your home and never come out. And then you're taking it seriously enough. We have to watch for that kind of propaganda.
Yeah, well, it's really astonishing what they're doing in places like California and Virginia mm-hmm. and some of these places where governors have suddenly become great dictators.
Yes.
Governors and mayors. It is amazing to me
mm-hmm.
how they're sitting there hoping for some way to assert authority they do not have.
Right.
I'm in charge now. You guys are going to have to obey me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody takes one step outside or you go to prison. I mean, to me, this is raw dictatorship.
Yep, I agree.
Being invited and those who cannot resist glory and fame and authority mm-hmm. are really falling for it.
Be right back. Don't go anywhere. Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com.
Wood Ash.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. I need to laugh. And when the sun is out, I've got something I can laugh about. I feel good in a special way. I'm in love and it's a sunny day. Good
day, welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Well, I'd love to get your 2 cents. In fact, thank you to Don Fotheringham, author of The President Makers. He did a whole chapter 32 on crisis, how they take advantage of crisis. Mm-hmm. And so just get the book. It is so good. You can get it on Amazon. It's a fantastic book. And I highly, highly recommend it because it sheds a light on true history, what was going on really behind the scenes. And then, of course, how it was painted to the public. And it's enlightening. So we'll start out with our first caller. But before I get there, caller, $1, go to balanceofnature.com. Balance of Nature. What a wonderful supplement. All the fruits and vegetables you could possibly think of. 31, actually, in three capsules of fruits and three capsules of veggies. You take these every morning, and they are actually so great for the immune system and your health right now that if you're worried about your health, what a great supplement to have. In fact, you can put in the code KATE, K-A-T-E, and you can get 35% off and free shipping. This is the time to get it. This is the time. And I take it, and I love it. My husband, this is the one. And it's called Balance of Nature, balanceofnature.com. So impressed with this. Caller, go right ahead.
I appreciate your topic on this.
Thank you.
I would like to make just a quick point with an example.
Sure.
I think that we've all lost touch of what personal responsibility means, which is the greatest exercise of our true freedom.
Mm-hmm.
If you act responsibly, meaning there's no victimhood in you, then this is no more threat to you than you want it to be.
Right.
You treat it as it feels to you. I personally don't find it that threatening. In fact, I think I had it last Saturday. I didn't need to call the doctor. I didn't feel that threatened by it. Mm-hmm. I came down with something that was very unique. Cough, cold sweats, and a fever.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think two of my kids have it right now, and they're already recovering.
Right.
So my point is that if you feel that it's a threat to you, and for an example, I thought that, I would simply distance myself until I felt like the threat was gone. That would be the responsible thing to do.
Which we already do.
In America, when we have real freedom, which we've long lost the reality of,
mm-hmm.
we don't really practice real freedom,
mm-hmm.
then you would operate under that premise. I have four children. We're not anti-vaxxers,
mm-hmm.
but we also have not vaccinated our two youngest because we don't feel like they're ready for it, nor would they get 80% of what they recommend if they got any.
Yeah.
But those are the two that are sick right now, and I'm not nervous.
Yeah.
But that's my call. That's my personal responsibility. So the invitation I'd like to end with, Kate, just real quick, is
mm-hmm.
how do we know how many other people feel like we do unless we're talking about it? While we social distance, if you feel like that's what you need to do,
mm-hmm.
don't stop socializing. And I mean, pick the phone up, talk to people, send emails to the people you care about. What I'm finding as I do that is my entire neighborhood feels exactly like I do. That's nine other parents with families.
Mm.
What percentage of us feel just like me? And at what point then do we exercise our freedom by pushing back?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really important question that needs to be asked, and you're asking it, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you so much. I appreciate the phone call. It was great.
What a great point.
Yeah.
Because that's the truth. We
mm-hmm.
have to keep talking about this.
Yep.
Let people know if you question some of these things. Let them know if you don't.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
But people are shying away because the bullies are out in droves.
That's
right. And the keyboard bullies are out in droves. And they're trying to tell everybody what serious means. Take it seriously. You're not taking it seriously. You're on a hike. Well, yeah, you're in the outdoors. You're on a hike. But they want to control it through you are not doing what your part is. If I hear that one more time, I'm going to cry. Don't, do your part. Everyone's already done their part. They're already doing their part. We've been doing our part for years and years and years and years. So they've turned that into the new sort of Nazi flair language of you need to be tighter controlled in this. We're going to control that you can't even go out of your house without being publicly shamed. And there's a big problem with that going on right now. And you've got to tell these people that this isn't okay and not let them run everything in a city, because those are the ones that are calling up the mayors and they're going, close this, close that, close this. There's
mm-hmm.
no common sense to any of the closings. Give me a break. But in your own individual cities, this is where you can actually do something, and that is to speak out to get more momentum for the people that feel this way that are being silent. Caller, go right ahead.
Yeah, Kate, I'm so happy to have heard Mr. Fotheringham.
Mm-hmm.
Great segment, so thank you for having him on again.
Sure.
I wanted to know your take on the new way to really quickly destroy the small businesses with this new unemployment bill that they've just ramrodded through that goes into effect April 1st, that basically is paying people more than what they were making, and small businesses have to pay that unemployment to those individuals, and it's retroactive back to October 2018.
It's
and so mm-hmm. so you've got these people who you know, a lot of people don't understand, I don't think, that when you file for unemployment, the person that you just left, that employer, that small business or that nonprofit or whoever mm-hmm. it was, mm-hmm. they're the ones who have to pay that unemployment.
Yep.
It doesn't come from the federal government. And so now they've shut them down and they've had to lay people off. Yep. Or they've had to furlough people or whatever the case is. So now they're chipping away at them again by saying, oh, well, if those people who were working for you way back all the way until October 2018, if they want to file for unemployment because they're going through hardship, now you're going to have to put the bill of your people not being there, not working, but also of all those people who left.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they quit, they get unemployment. If
yep.
they were fired, they get unemployment.
Yeah, it's
so instead of that's like triple the cost every single month on their payroll. What are they supposed to do?
Right, I know, and it's creating a dependency too on not only wiping out business, creating a dependency from the government on that as well, and the people. You can make more than going to work. You're going to it's creating more dependency. We said this weeks ago when this was happening with the small business, and they were rushing in each county to claim their emergency, to get some money, to give to small business, and all these strings attached to it are the strings you're talking about now as well that are coming out, right?
Well, and you're exactly right. The crazy part is with that ruling, there's this little, like you said, there's this little catch. So if you have to let anybody go during this period of time, then you have to repay the emergency funding that you take.
Right, right.
If you don't lay anybody off, then you mm-hmm. don't have to take that.
Right.
But if they are pushed to the point where now they're having to backtrack back mm-hmm. until October 2018
yeah,
of people who just, I want to file for unemployment
mm-hmm.
because I get all of these perks. I get
right.
all of this new leave. I get all of this
mm-hmm.
amazingness, whatever mm-hmm. the case you want to call it.
Sure.
That's shooting them in the foot faster than mm-hmm. just closing the door.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It makes me sick. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate the explanation and appreciate you. It does. It makes me ill. Trust me. And, you know, it's like Don Fotheringham said, you know, where has everybody been when we've been fighting this step by step by step by step? And a lot of people were just, you know, we're living the good life, and there's always a price to pay for liberty. And we're seeing that now under the guise of medical. We're seeing that, you know, you're going to be controlled through these measures, and they're going to dump the economy because they tell you they're saving lives, even though there are many lives not in danger. So it's getting very interesting. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yes, this is that funny guy with the whipped cream.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. How are you doing?
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
60 years ago, they put me through chemical, nuke, and biological warfare school
mm-hmm.
in the military, and they were giddy
mm-hmm.
about taking viruses and putting different coatings on them so
mm-hmm.
that the immune system would act like, say, with a fever. But it wasn't something with a fever, and you would take an NSAID, and it would trigger a deadly response.
Hmm.
And this is the kind of things that we would sit around the table and game about, adding different coatings to a virus, and maybe multiple coatings, so that you might get contracted one, let's say, with HIV
mm-hmm.
or with MERS or with SARS,
mm-hmm.
and that you wouldn't get an immunity when that developed in you.
Right. Wow.
Okay, so we really don't know what this is, and I don't think even the idea that Dr. Blodgett and the local folks are saying, don't worry, it's the flu.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think. I think it's a bioweapon. I know what they do. I know what their objectives are.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the solutions that no one seems to want to talk about
mm-hmm.
is something called chaga mushroom tea, or a powder,
mm-hmm.
liposomal vitamin C to strengthen the cell structure, and vitamin D, along
mm-hmm.
with sunshine,
mm-hmm.
to build the immunity So even if we contract it, it's not going to do damage to us.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Really appreciate the phone call. It's an interesting concept because we've talked about that a little bit on the show. Well, there's a lot of things being said about this. I mean,
well, this
it's a million directions.
Was mm-hmm. absolutely correct,
mm-hmm.
though.
Yeah.
If you're a healthy person,
mm-hmm.
then it is much harder for these viruses yeah. and bacteria to infect you.
Yeah.
Because your immune system is designed not to wait until you're sick to fight off this invader.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed to spot the invader immediately and fight it off before it makes you sick.
Right.
That's why when they say, oh, so these people show light symptoms,
mm-hmm.
it's not that they're showing light symptoms. It's that their immune system is killing the bug before it causes any symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They make it sound like you can get different little mm-hmm. viruses. Like this virus is stronger than this
mm-hmm.
one. No.
Mm-mm.
It's your own body yeah. that makes the difference.
Yeah. And it's like I said, when my son was sick with all four illnesses at the same time, both strains of flu, which surprised the doctor at the time, and strep. I mean, my kid was in bad shape. He still didn't get anyone around him sick because he built up an immunity, or we built up our immunities. We had immunity, and most healthy people do. So you can't just go around giving something to somebody, especially something you don't have. But even if you had it, you couldn't give it to everybody. You just could not infect everybody. The other thing is a lot of the deaths are being called COVID, but they're not COVID. There are people saying, well, my relative had diabetes. My relative had all these other issues going on. One father was saying, yeah, my son's a teen. He had died. And they were claiming it COVID, but in actuality, he died of heart failure. And that the father was actually trying to make sure that was made news because they kept claiming COVID. So beware of that, that as those, you know, the deaths are they really COVID? Because this is what they did with swine flu. They made sure everything got categorized as swine flu so that in the history books, it would be all these numbers, but it wasn't necessarily all swine flu. Go ahead.
Another way now that they're trying to get us to mm-hmm. Put the mark on people who get it is now they're saying that up to 10%, this is the headline, up to 10% of recovered coronavirus patients test positive again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they say that in the headline. If you read the article, it's 10% of the cured patients became reinfected in China.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't found this anywhere else. This is in China this is happening. So they say.
Yeah.
But again, the test that they're testing to say it's positive a second time is not an accurate test.
No, none of it is.
So, but they're making this headline out there.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have it, you know, you can actually test positive a second time after you've been...
Right. I know. It just drives me crazy. All the misinformation, the deceptions at an all-time high in these articles. I mean, honestly, it's a deception. The guy in New York, you know, Cuomo, saying that he needs this and needs that, and people rush in with the supplies and goes, well, I mean, if I need it. Not right now. I mean, it is that much deception going on. Seattle came out and started walking it back and saying, well, we don't really have the cases that we thought we'd still have by this time because they were like the epicenter in the United States, Seattle was. And now they're saying, well, I mean, it's slowed down over here. That's not making front page news, but everything else is. All the scare tactics are. So I think we just have to be very aware at how to get through the article. The headline is never the headline anymore. And then in the article, it'll say, you know, classic example, it's airborne. It could be airborne now. So everyone goes airborne. And then you read in the article that the researchers are actually like, well, I mean, not really. I mean, we're looking at it, but there's enough evidence to say it's probably not.
Yeah.
But look at the headline. So we have got to do a better job in reading through the propaganda. We've got to do a better job in warning people about the kind of influence we're under because we are falling under the weight of this propaganda right now. And this is why we try to wake people up, because the sooner we wake up a nation and the 327 million people that are in a thinking coma, the sooner we wake them up from this and say, our economy could be working just fine right now. There's no reason to do this. As soon as we can do that, we get the economy. They don't win. They don't win this one. And that's what I'm truly hoping for, is that we can get enough people awoken that they will finally go, oh, my gosh, our economy could still be running right now. Why are we doing this? Look around. Do you know anyone with COVID? We have got to start kicking that into action. So be bolder and be louder about what you think is going on. Point out the propaganda. Point it out to people. And I appreciate that. And Uncle Milty does too.
Yes.
Thanks, Uncle Milty. And be faithful, be fearless. See you here tomorrow.
Balance of Nature.